Our beautiful forests are the lungs of the world. They are our first line of defence in the fight against climate change. Trees breathe in carbon dioxide and return it to us as breathable oxygen. Intact old-growth forest ecosystems also act as carbon sinks, holding carbon and preventing its indiscriminate escape into the atmosphere. Ironically, while the Kyoto Protocol, the international agreement created to begin addressing the problem of climate change, does not yet contain effective provisions to protect existing carbon-absorbing native forests. As of December 2003, it does allow for genetically modified industrial tree plantations to be traded as carbon sinks under the protocol's so-called clean development mechanism, in what amounts to a massive and potentially dangerous subsidy afforded to the development of GM tree technologies that could see the international treaty designed to tackle climate change become instead a death warrant for our existing forest ecosystems, plunging us further into ecological catastrophe. When the decision to include genetically modified trees as an eco-friendly and publicly subsidised technology was made at the last minute and without adequate public consultation in December 2003 at the United Nations Convention on Climate Change in Milan, environmental groups, NGOs, civil society organisations and some governments were understandably very concerned. Aside from their potential to exacerbate the worst effect, existing industrial plantations, such as excessive water consumption, the forced displacement of indigenous and poor communities, encroachment onto traditional agricultural lands and health problems associated with excessive pollen production, and despite the fact that there is scant evidence that industrial tree plantations would in fact act as a carbon sink, there are also fears that genetically engineered traits such as herbicide resistance, insecticidal properties or reduced lignin content could escape the plantations and or spread to wild relatives, damaging previously intact forest ecosystems. Lignin is the part of the tree that determines the rigidity, strength and resistance of the plant structure. Pulp and paper manufacturers want trees with reduced lignin since they are easier to process and require less chemicals. However, reduced lignin content would also mean trees would be weaker and more susceptible to pests and diseases. According to Professor Joe Cummins, writing in Science in Society magazine, the low lignin trait is comparable to a loss in immune functions comparable to AIDS in mammals. The fact is that nobody knows what will be the effect of releasing genetically modified trees into the environment, but we are about to find out. For the last 2 years, China has been involved in a large-scale commercial release of GM poplars. Nobody knows where these trees are, or how many of them have been released into the environment. This means we are all unwitting participants in perhaps the largest biological experiment the world has ever known. The World Rainforest Movement and Friends of the Earth International have released a report, GM Trees, the Ultimate Threat to Forests, which was presented at last year's follow-up convention on climate change in Buenos Aires. I spoke to independent researcher Chris Lang, the author of that report. Ironically, in a world suffering from climate change, he was suffering from a cold. You discovered in the course of researching your report that genetically modified trees were already commercially available in China.
That was one of the things I actually found out quite late on in the research. It was tucked away in a footnote of someone else's report, and to me this was probably the most surprising thing that I found out. For the last 2 years, the Chinese government has commercially released genetically modified poplar trees, and yet there it was tucked away in a footnote, and I had to do quite a lot of digging to find out, to confirm that this was actually the case. There's tree nurseries in China which are selling genetically modified trees. Anyone can go into these tree nurseries and buy the genetically modified trees. There's no record of where the trees are being planted. There's no record of what the impact of these trees is. So basically what the Chinese government has done is unleashed a completely uncontrolled experiment. And the danger of this is that If there are serious impacts of this, we're not even going to know until it's too late. And this is one of the serious risks about this whole technology of GM trees. Once the impacts appear, it's virtually impossible to recall the product. You know, when you've got millions and millions of genetically modified trees planted, how on earth do you recall that to the laboratory? China, there's large areas of poplar plantations, which are not GM trees, and also areas of poplar forests. So one of the big dangers is that the genetically modified poplar trees could cross with the natural poplar trees.
In 2003, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change allowed the inclusion of GM trees to act as carbon sinks within the framework of the Kyoto Protocol's Clean Development Mechanism, and I know that your report was presented to the 2004 Convention on Climate Change.
This was a big surprise to a lot of people that genetically modified trees suddenly appeared within the Kyoto Protocol's Clean Development Mechanism. Suddenly, in the preamble to the protocol, appeared the words genetically modified trees, allowing countries in the north to plant plantations of genetically modified trees to supposedly to absorb their carbon emissions. Obviously, quite a few environmental organizations were both surprised and very concerned about this inclusion of genetically modified trees in the Kyoto Protocol. A coalition of groups in Finland, the People's Biosafety Association, the Union of Ecoforestry and Friends of the Earth Finland, launched a petition against GM trees. And the idea was, instead of the UN including GM trees in the Kyoto Protocol, to get the UN to ban the use of GM trees. So this was the logic of presenting the research that I'd done on genetically modified trees and presenting this petition at the climate meeting in Buenos Aires. Genetically modified tree plantations are not addressing any of the problems that local communities are facing. The whole rationale is an attempt to address problems as seen by the pulp and paper industry.
Do you have what the response was to the presentation of the report in Buenos Aires?
No, we haven't heard anything back from any of the governments or from any of the governments that were present at the UN meeting or from the UN itself. In fact, the UN's role in promoting genetically modified trees has been one of the most frustrating things that I came across in doing the research for this report. The UNDP actually ran a project in China which helped the Chinese scientists in their development of GM trees. And I've written to the UNDP in China and asked for copies of the reports produced under that project, and I've received no reply. I've written to the UN in the US, in New York, and also received no reply. All I'm doing is requesting the documents produced under the project that the UNDP ran. And these should be publicly available documents, but, you know, I just can't get hold of them. When I found out that the Chinese government had released genetically modified poplar trees in China, I found this out because a Chinese scientist had given a presentation at a UN Food and Agriculture Organization meeting in November 2003. And, you know, the FAO told me that this scientist's report is not for public use and that I was not to use it, which, you know, this is... To me, I can't understand why the UN would be so secretive about its involvement in this technology.
Can we just get an idea of the scale of the GM poplar release in China? How many trees are we talking about?
The only figure that I've been able to come across is at least 1.4 million trees. But the likelihood is that this is a huge underestimate. First, because this estimate was made in November 2003, which is more than a year ago. And second, because there are no there are no records of how many of these trees have been planted.
And why do you feel that the UN was being so secretive? Continues to be so.
To me, it's very confusing. You know, if we're supposed to consider that this is a safe technology, which apparently is what the scientists want us to consider, why are they being so secretive about this? What on earth do they have to hide? Surely the best thing to do is to get everything out in the open, and then, you know, we can stop worrying. But, you know, it does seem that they genuinely have something to hide, and particularly in this case in China, just the fact that they've gone ahead and released these trees, and they're not monitoring the impact. That just seems staggeringly irresponsible to me.
So, do you think it's got something to do with the sort of policies of deliberate contamination that have been pursued in the agricultural field?
This was something that I did wonder about when I was writing the report. There are several scientists who are working on genetically modified trees who are saying that the best way to find out what the problems associated with genetically modified trees might be is to commercially release them and then to monitor what happens. The danger of this is that commercially releasing means planting millions and millions of trees. And once the problems are out there, as I said earlier, it's basically impossible to recall these trees to the laboratory. And, you know, I really did start to wonder whether that was exactly what the scientists wanted to achieve. Basically, the release of these trees and to allow their genetically modified genes from these trees to spread into natural forests and, you know, just to allow nature to unfold. And, you know, the risk is that the scientists and we basically do not know exactly how this is going to unfold, and it could be a complete catastrophe for natural forests. The medicine that the GM tree scientists are hoping to apply the cure is actually going to be worse than the disease, or it's going to make the disease itself significantly worse by destroying forests rather than absorbing carbon, as they, you know, they hope that their GM tree plantations are going to. One of the scientists that I got in touch with, Stephen Strauss at Oregon State University, was very interesting on the subject of carbon and GM trees. He actually told me, and this is a quote, that there's no pressing need for the technology of GM trees at present in the USA. End of quote. And he explained that this is, quote again, due to a lack of tax incentives for intensive tree-based pulp and bioenergy plantations and low wood prices, etc. End of quote. So according to this scientist, Strauss, there's basically, without a whole bunch of government subsidies, these GM trees don't particularly make sense. He then added, and again I quote, "This, of course, would change radically overnight if the world were to get serious about carbon emissions control and sequestration." End of quote. So according to this scientist, Stephen Strauss, who's one of the world's biggest promoters of GM trees, the subsidy which could be provided to the GM tree industry through carbon sequestration could be the very thing that pushes this technology ahead. And this is why we're so concerned that GM trees have squeezed into the Kyoto Protocol. And in the future, this could be one of the main drivers of this new technology.
So we can expect, although there's secrecy now, we can expect GM trees to be sold to us as a green technology.
Yeah, Yeah, that's precisely what the scientists involved are hoping to do. A colleague of mine was recently at a conference in Duke University in the States, and she reported that the scientists were talking about white hat ideas. I've never heard of this expression, white hat, before, but apparently they were repeating it throughout the conference. And what they were meaning were ideas that the public might find acceptable. They were basically looking for ways of selling GM tree technology to the public to try and make it look innocuous, safe, green. And this is basically, for one thing, this isn't what a scientist's job should be about. Why on earth are scientists trying to spin their technology to make it look safe for the public? Surely scientists have a duty to basically carry out experiments and try and determine whether or not this technology is safe, not to try and sell the technology to the public on behalf of their industrial masters.